calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in the city of Groton. I'll be your net control station for this evening, and membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary nor required for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are still welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.06 megahertz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 hertz. If needed, the secondary is the 146.97, also with a PL tone of 156.7 hertz. The net is held each Wednesday evening, starting at 7 p.m. local time, with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators, as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. TipsNet is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have questions for the net. We'll ask for your questions after everyone is checked in. About every 10 or 15 minutes, we'll ask again for anybody that would like to join the net, and you can check in at that time if you didn't check in at the start. There are three sections to the TipsNet. The first is the open net with rounds of questions and comments and interesting facts. Second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. I know of a few that are coming up shortly. And third is an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say "this is" and release the mic button. And listen to ensure no one else has called at the same time you have. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically like I did, Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo, and your name and location and if you have a question or comment. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim. I'm in the city of Groton, and I'm your control station for this evening. We'll start by taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango.
Good evening, Matt. This is Kilo Alpha 6 Papa Delta Golf, Kevin in Norwich. No questions or topics to bring up yet.
I found out that Herman Munster from on the old TV show, actually had an episode where he was a ham radio operator. And he had a rather strange call sign, which I will mention the next time around, which I think I finally parsed out and figured out roughly what part of the country he was calling from and which part of the country he had gotten his license. And we'll go from there. So, in the meantime, we'll go for a round of comments, see what everybody's up to this lovely day. Dave, K1DCT, any thoughts on that or anything else that might tickle your brain?
Oh, good evening, Tim, and all those on the net. This is Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango. I do remember vaguely seeing that episode. Of course, I'm way too young, so I'm sure it was syndicated in reruns. But, hi. yeah, it was interesting. I don't remember what his call sign was, but, that part of my memory would have long faded away. But anyway, interesting. I mean, occasionally you do see a little ham radio squeezed in to some sort of TV show or movie, and sometimes it's technically accurate, and sometimes it's skirting along the edge, and sometimes it's a little bizarre. So I'll leave it at that. Back to net, K1DCT.
Thank you, Dave, and right you are. Sometimes they portray it somewhat accurately, sometimes not. In this case, and I will give you the call sign, I guess I should have just gone ahead and said it. This was a 1965 episode, by the way, just to put a timestamp on it. And in the episode, he ends up talking to two kids who are talking in walkie-talkies. And what he was doing in that part of the band, I don't know. But his call sign was Whiskey 6 X-Ray Romeo Lima 4. That was W6XRL4. But I think I figured it out, because normally that would not be a correct call sign. But I think I figured it out. So we'll see what Kevin thinks of this. Or if, Kevin, you may have other things you'd like to chat about. KU6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
No, I've been thinking about this Herman Munster thing all week, and it's been bothering me, so let's get it off our chest. Oh, I love it. I like novelty stuff. Well, my guess would be, and good evening all, by the way, that he was, he had a call sign from California. That's probably where he got his license. But had moved to, I think I saw the episode too, or heard about it, or part of it or something. But he probably was visiting or had moved to Alabama or Virginia or the Carolinas or Florida or Georgia, I think, if I remember right. Down that way somewhere with that four. He just forgot to say slant bar, you know what I mean. No, that's a good question, and it raises the whole thought pattern about famous people who were hams, but I never stopped to think how many famous, fictitious people have we come across, either on television or in cartoons or something, that were ham radio operators. And as far as the percentage of times that they actually get the technical aspects of any kind of radio right, whether it's police or ham or CB or aircraft or whatever that you might see in the movies, I'd say it's about 3% of the time. KA6PDG, back to net.
Thank you, Kevin. Yes, indeed. That's the same reasoning I had, that he got the license in California, which I probably didn't realize until I really took a good look at the map. But California is the only state with its own code and number assigned to it. Every place else has, as far as numbers go now, actually it has multiple states. So California being so big and so forth and so populated, I guess they figured that made sense. And I can't think off the top of my head other people who might have, fictitious people. I can think of a couple of movies where there were fictitious ham radio operators, but none of the titles come to mind at the moment. But let's move on to Steve and see if Steve has any thoughts on all of this, or again, anything else that might be percolating in the back of his mind in K1V, KC1TWR.
This is NK1V. Geez, Tim, that's pretty interesting. I love stuff like that. I actually sitting here and Googled it, of course, and it's actually pretty cool, the whole concept. I hate to tell you guys, but I actually missed this episode by 1 year and 2 months. So I would have had to catch it as a rerun. So there's some actually pretty good, looking at some of the, there's some videos maybe I'll watch later, after the net, but there's some pretty good images. I love stuff like that to use as a background image on my computer at work. I have a big screen and a lot of traffic through there. People are always amazed at the stuff I come up with. So that'll be a good one. That'll give me something to look forward to tomorrow morning. Put that image up on my screen at work there just to get the questions rolling. But this was very interesting. I love stuff like that. It's amazing how I'll have to check it out and see how accurate things are. I look at the picture I see there, it's sitting by this huge tube that's almost as big as his head. But other than that, I have nothing new. And K1B, back to that.
Thank you, Steve. And another tidbit of information. Part of that call sign, the W6XLR, is now registered to a radio club in California. So I couldn't find out much about the club, though. That kind of puzzled me, but I was curious if they might have on their webpage, you know, why they chose that particular call sign, whether it was from Herman Munster or from something else. So it could be one of those special sort of, not fictitious clubs, but I've heard of people forming clubs just so that they can get better price and tables, like out at the Dayton Hamvention and so forth. So nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's nothing illegal or anything else, but maybe it's one of those kind of clubs. Who knows? Okay, we're at the bottom of the list, and before we go back to the top, I'll do another quick call out. Anybody at this time that would like to join the TIPSNet, please call now.
Here is Whiskey 1, Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey, Chuck and Groton, good evening.
W1FGW. Further check-ins, please call now. Okay, Chuck, we'll just ask if you have any comments. We were just discussing Herman Munster and his call sign, W6XLR4, and I don't know how much of the conversation you might have heard. Any comments on that or any other topics you want to bring to the table today? W1FJW, KC1TWR.
Well, I didn't bring any topics. Fictitious. Well, how about KA0XTT for the hero of Last Man Standing? Who's his character is a ham, and it's played by Tim Dick, who is actually also a ham. That's all I can bring, W1FJW.
Very good, that is true, which is the show that I keep getting confused with, Tool Time. Because at that point my kids were young, I was working several jobs, and some of them were night shift jobs, so I always missed all those kinds of shows, which has tripped me up a few times socially, like Chuck with his Binford 6000 pacemaker, Binford was also a fictitious company. But, it's interesting the number of call signs that are out there. And then what I like to do is I like to go see if anybody actually has that call sign now, you know, just out of curiosity, kind of morbid and what have you, but why not? Okay, I think we'll go ahead and ring around back to the top of the conversation. I do want to bring something to the table that happened this morning. I was working with, I was over at Josh's place, KZOJEB, and he had made up a J-pole for me, and I was having a difficult time getting the coax cable to attach to it and get a good SWR reading. And we came up and decided, after a lot of testing, that it was either very, very, very poor quality cable and connector, which none of it seemed to be copper, and or it was that I only had about 4 feet of it, as opposed to having, you know, a nice long coil of 15, 20 feet or what have you. And I'm trying to figure out which was causing the problems. When he attached one of his cables that was longer, but also had copper in it, the SWR came in very nicely. So, just something that we're still trying to work out. And with that, we'll go to the top of the list. Dave, K1DCT, KC1TWR.
Oh, very good, Tim, K1DCT. Yes, you can get into trouble with very short pieces of coax. Or ideally, it should be, let's see. Now it escapes me, whether it should be a multiple of a quarter wave or a multiple of a half wave. I have actually run into that problem when I was doing mobile radio stuff. Somebody kept shortening a cable and shortening, and at some point I had to just remove it and put a nice long piece of cable on there, and then everything was better. So apparently you can find the, you know, like with a antenna tuner, you can find the sweet spot. Well, you get your coax short enough, you can find a sour spot. So that's that in a untechnical terms. And as far as I got to get back to this call sign here, because XLR, that's something you could kind of assimilate that, if you would, to an inductive and resistive circuit. There's a formula starting to work there. Or just XLR is actually a three-pin connector used in a lot of audio microphones in particular. So just a little more trivia, I guess, is a nice way to describe it. K1DCT, back to net.
Thank you, Dave. That is interesting. And I've seen XLR other places as well, but I'm wondering with audio whether XLR actually had other meanings, L for left, R for right, and X is ground, maybe for a three-prong connection or something. Or maybe not. Maybe I'm all wet. Okay, with that, we'll move down to Kevin. And somehow I think Kevin's going to, after Dave's comment about sweet and sour, I think Kevin's going to bring food into the conversation, actually. But that's just a guess on my part. Kevin, KA6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
Well, I know this would be hard to believe, but my mind wasn't even going in that direction. then again, I'm not sure my mind's going in any direction this evening. And thanks, Dave, you picked that up, that XLR I was going to mention, because I use a lot of XLR stuff here. But I never thought of the left-right ground. That would make sense in my mind. And I'm not going to unkey so somebody can make a comment. by the way, I think it's fair to say that California shares that numeric, the 6, with Hawaii, even though the letters in the prefix for Hawaii are different. Kilo Hotel, usually, or November Hotel. But the six is the same. So actually, it's California and Hawaii that have the six. I appreciate your comments, Dave, about the coax. I learned something there. I would have thought that the length didn't really make a difference unless you got real long, but when you mention it, it is, I want to say quarter wave, but I'm probably all washed up. Let's see. I don't know. It's been such a hectic day. I'm having trouble thinking of anything interesting to put forth. So probably the most interesting thing I could do would be to say KA6PDG back to net control.
Well, thank you, Kevin. That was very interesting. Good golly. I will bring up something about food, and that's the fact that Tri-City is doing the field day again this year up at the Ledyard Fairgrounds. And instead of pizza or grinders, they're talking about having a grill and some steak. So, you know, you don't have to come up and stay all night to partake of the food. You just drop in for an hour or two and enjoy yourself. That's what it's there for. But with all of that being said, let's move on to Steve and see if you've parsed together anything out of all this information. NK1V, KC1TWR.
NK1V, do we miss Dave?
First, and he mentioned about the, I had mentioned the J-pole and the, could it be the cable length or could it be the quality of the wire? Dave made a comment that, you know, definitely could be the length of the cable. And then Kevin thanked Dave for that because he had learned something about it. And then it's over to you.
NK1B. Okay, yeah, somebody mentioned steak and it just threw me all off. So, anyways, I'm sure you guys have checked, but W6XLR is Richard in Hayward, California. Someone carries that call sign, obviously minus the 4. I find that very interesting. Nothing major on his QRZ page, just basic information. I wonder if he realizes it. Maybe he's a big Herman Munster fan. On the coax thing, I've done a lot of playing around with antennas and stuff, and I usually... When I work with any kind of project, I try to keep a approximate length going of what I will finally use. I read stuff about doing stuff right at the feed point and everything like that, but I usually kind of try to set up with the length I'll be using in the final application. And my first Elmer, who unfortunately is a silent key, preached very sternly that on any antenna like that, or almost any antenna, put some sort of a neatly coiled choke, you know, a ballon, you know, ugly ballon as we call them, even just a couple turns on anything, and just whether you need it or not, because it's never going to hurt, and it always seems to help, and I even do that when I tune, just to, you know, when I'm trying to set something like that up, just on a coffee, you know, plastic coffee can or whatever it takes. Back to net, and K1B.
Well, thank you. That's a very interesting comment. And now that I'm thinking about it, when Josh and I were using his cable, it was coiled in a coil just for, you know, to keep it from going all over the place. So maybe that also helped. But still, that is interesting. I want to throw out another interesting thing that happened today. Josh, in preparation for the Fox Hunt that wasn't, he got himself, built himself a tape measure Yagi, and he got pretty good. He got the SW down pretty well. He had it pointing out his window to the south of his building, and he's in Groton near Pequannock Plains, pointing down out to the south. And yet, he had better luck reaching the Norwich repeater with that than it's a lot of the other antennas he's tried. So we found that of interest. My thought is that maybe facing south, there's a number of buildings. Maybe the signal was bouncing off of one of the buildings, and that's why it was indirectly a little bit better than just trying to go straight north from his building. But we'll pass this on, and with all this various things we're talking about, see what Chuck might be thinking about it. W1FJW, KC1TWR.
Well, I got so many notes here, I don't know if I can hit them all, but going back a topic to the fictitious call signs, the call signs that have an X as the first character of the suffix are, that's reserved by the FCC for experimental. So it's usually a temporary experimental license, or in the case of, as we know, can be used for a fictitious one, because there's very few of them assigned, so it's an easy one to make sure that it's not being taken. And the cables should be multiples of quarter or one-half wavelength. Typically, your antenna and your transceiver are the same impedance, so you want the impedance of the antenna brought to the transceiver terminals, so you want a multiples of a half wave. A half wave piece of feed line it presents the same impedance to the transceiver that it sees at the antenna. A quarter wave, it's guaranteed to be different, but a half wave, it'll be the same. That's why you can use a half wave of 600 ohm to tie a 50 ohm antenna to a 50 ohm transceiver. In terms of the ugly balance, the only thing I'll say about that is it's better if you wind it on a piece of plastic pipe or cardboard or something, so that the first turn of the balun is as far away from possible from the last turn, to prevent stray capacitive coupling from taking away some of the beneficial effect. And in terms of the tape measure Yagi, Yagis tend to have very good performance off the front, but and very poor off the sides, but there is a little bit of a lobe on the back. That's why the quality of a Yagi is mostly in the front to back ratio, because the back is better than the sides, has more gain than the sides, and the front has the most, but there's always a little bit of gain out the back, and you could have just found that spot with the Norwich repeater. Just a guess. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. That is a lot of information. I can see why you were taking notes. I don't think I could have thought of those things and kept them straight in my mind, so I'm glad that you did that. The X for experimental, that's, I'd forgotten that there was, certain reservations and certain call signs, so that's a good thing to know. And the quarter and the half wave, I'm going to have to do a little bit more research on that to make sure exactly how long I want to make that cable, and if so, I'd make it out of what. But I definitely will add get a piece of plastic and make up a balun, an ugly balun as was mentioned, or just coils of wire as it were, and we'll go from there. Okay, we're at the bottom of the list, so I'll do another call out. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, I'm in the city of Groton, and this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. And you don't have to be a member to join. Any radio operator is welcome to join. If anybody else would like to check in, please call now. Okay, and with that, we're going to go back to the top of the list. And with all that's been said, and I guess my question would be, then what would be the ideal length for a piece of RJ58 coming from the J-pole to the transceiver? I imagine if it has to be multiples of the half wave as being best, then half wave would be 1 meter, but that's pretty close for the radio. So therefore, would 6 feet be the best, or something multiple longer than that? Any thoughts on that, or thoughts on anything else, Dave? I don't want to limit you. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, well, a quarter wave dipole, a quarter wave vertical on 2 meters is 19 inches, so half wave be 38, so multiple of 38 inches would get you in the ballpark. So whatever works out, you know, so that you don't have an extra mile of cable piled up under the bench, just for efficiency, but not so short that you've got to tug on it to get. So you can go from there. Otherwise, that's about it. I did look up the XLR connector. I can beat on that for a little bit. It was invented by a guy named James Cannon. Light it off and it goes boom, Cannon. And once I read that, it's like, oh yeah, sometimes we call them Cannon plugs. Not the type that you would use during a Civil War reenactment. But and they do come in multiple 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 pin connectors. The obsolete models had 2 pins, but usually used a lot of audio power, that kind of stuff. So just to beat that up a little bit more. And I used to make up a lot of these years ago, but I don't even think I have any around here anymore. That's about it. Not too much of any other general interest. Back to net, K1DCT.
Hey, thank you, Dick. Now that was interesting. You know, as to who, you know, came up with the idea and so forth. The fact that the slang term for it was named after him. Well, maybe not the slang. But, yeah, I wonder if those are still being used a lot. I know Kevin had mentioned that he's somewhat familiar with them, so I'm wondering if he's using them in the work that he does. But, let's go ahead and ask Kevin about that and anything else he'd like to talk about. Kevin, this is KC1TWR.
All right, K6PDG. And the tips net. Yeah, I use them for audio, mainly for microphones. Although I think I've got one machine that needs them for output to the audio amplifier in the studio. And then I think going from, my mixer board to the processor, I use them. So yeah, they have a reputation for being more conductive and better insulated, better shielded, less prone to interference from the computer monitor or the dishwasher down the hall or whatever. So they are used a lot in audio and particularly almost exclusively in professional sound and that kind of thing. So they're sort of the industry standard. Maybe I could use that expression. Boy, a lot of interesting stuff here. And the only thing I can think of to speak knowledgeably on, because I'm sitting here and learning a lot of stuff, is with respect to the food at Field Day. Steve's falling off his chair now. And just a comment that, yeah, it sounds kind of like what Raycon used to do, was they would provide the meat and then invite folks to bring salads and other goodies, desserts, whatever. But I think, at least something to think about, and maybe it has been thought about, I think they also did hamburgers and hot dogs, and certainly with the hot dogs, the thought was if families show up and they bring the younger kids, usually a hot dog is a good option for them, rather than a nice $20 porterhouse or the, the 3-pound lobsters that I know Tri-City is going to be purchasing a few hours before field day. Anyway, just thought, doesn't matter to me either way. I love steak, and I like the idea of This with a lot of club field days I've been to, they kind of do something around dinner time, whether it's extravagant or not. It's something that is kind of looked forward to. And then I belong to... I'll make this my final remark for this round, but Steve will not be surprised when I say that I used to belong to the Golden Empire Amateur Radio Society out in Northern California when I lived in the town of Paradise, actually. And one thing that club still does to this day every year, and I think it's in September, they do a steak bake. Very fine ham radio club. KA6PDG, back to net.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. And yeah, that sounds, the steak bake sounds very good, although I hope they don't bake the steak, but I don't know. We'll find out. Yeah, just to shed a little bit more light on the Tri-Cities plans as far as the food and whatnot goes, the theme for this field day is food and fun. On Saturday, we'll start setting up the... we're not going to start setting up Friday night. We're going to do it on Saturday. For lunch, we're going to have some grills, and we're going to have hot dogs and hamburgers, things of that nature, potato salad and whatnot. For dinner Saturday is when the steaks come out and other foods. Sunday morning will be breakfast with ham and sausage, or ham and bacon and so forth. Or maybe it's sausage and bacon. That's probably what it is. And then for Wednesday, for Sunday at lunch, will be pretty much just a gathering of... eating up all the leftovers and things of that nature, and if we need to, we'll run across the street and get something. So that's the plan food-wise. Now fun-wise, we're planning on setting out some things, maybe a horseshoe game, maybe a croquet game. We've got a lot of field there we can use, so we definitely want to set up some things for kids of all ages to have fun with. And also, if you get tired of yammering on the radio for a while and you want to get up and stretch your legs and do something, you want to have something fun that you might enjoy doing. So if any ideas on what people would like to see, hey, feel free to bring them to the table. Like to make this one a pleasant, good experience. And again, it's nice to have people who are there the whole time. But let me just reset. It's nice to have people who are going to be there the whole field day event. But we're also looking for those people who just want to pop in for, you know, half an hour or two, and maybe get on the air a bit, and or just for the association. So that's what we're trying to do this year. And we'll hope for the best, prepare for the worst. And with all that, hopefully Steve is thoroughly confused now, and we'll see what comments he may have to say. He may have gone off the deep end and come back with something totally that we haven't even spoken about. AIM-K1B, KC1TWR.
NK1V. No one's mentioned shrimp yet. I like lobster, but I'm not a huge lobster fan. But steak and shrimp is worth the trip. Yeah, sounds like you guys got a nice setup. We're at the Hop River Radio Club's doing we're doing like a real small thing for field day, because it's gonna be our first one and we don't wanna overdo it. And that might actually leave some time. I don't think we're gonna do the full 2 days. So let's see what there's extra time and availability. I have to stop out there. Yeah, the XLRs, that's a very familiar cable. One of those things, I never really thought much about why the industry uses them, but it is the standard, and they're pretty rugged, and they're nice because they usually have like a snap connect to keep from popping out, which can be a big problem during the show. Yeah, and on the coax links and everything for the J-pole antenna, that's true on the wavelength, and from my experience with some of the stuff I've read, it seems like once I get over a certain length, it's not nearly as critical, like it's not as critical as no longer. But I will say, on a permanent installation for a PHF antenna like this, I don't know about RJ58, you're going to want to go with the highest quality coax that you can afford. And I try to keep the length minimal, and someone mentioned, you know, make sure there's enough slack in it that change of mind, which I often do, and to, you know, maneuver things around. But I don't seem to have as much problem with HF, but on VHF, I have some decent coax, which unfortunately I don't on this one because it's kind of too high up and I couldn't afford it, but next trip I will. Back to that, and K1B.
Yep, thank you, Steve. And yeah, that's worth mentioning. And the cables that I have, I'm now leery of their quality, so I think whatever cable I decide to use, I'm going to have to order some. So I'll have to look around and see what companies have and what kind of quality they are. And so if anybody has any thoughts on the best place to get cables, be good to know. Let's see. Okay, let's move on to Chuck, W1FJW. This is KC1TWR.
Maintaining my long-standing tradition of being a question or so behind. With the feed line for an antenna, because you don't, because I never can accurately model out exactly what all the impedances are and what the cable should be, I have found the wasteful but useful method of getting a feed line the right length is to run the cable and put in a cable that's at least, for 2 meters, at least 20 inches too long, and then hook the cable up and hook an SWR bridge to it, find out what the overall impedance is. If it's a good number, quit, you're there. If it's a bad number, then cut an inch off the cable and try again, and just keep nibbling it down, and usually you'll find a spot where the SWR comes out right. And, because I can cut cable a lot better than I can calculate. Back to net, W1FJW.
Well, I like that. Plus, it gives the person a lot of practice putting cable ends on. That's a good idea. And I may do that. I've kind of been a fan in the past of getting pre-made cables, but I'm beginning to think that you know, learning and practicing and starting to cut the length of the ones that I need to make sure I get them right might be the best idea. So yeah, at this point, we're at the bottom of the list again. I'll do another call out, and I think we'll have our one more round before we go into phase two. So at this time, if there's anybody else that would like to join the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet, please call now.
This is Whiskey 1, Julia Oscar Papa, John, City of Groton.
This is Kilo Bravo 1, Romeo Alpha Yankee, Mark in Groton. No questions. Not really much for comments.
KNET recognizes John W1JOP and Mark KP1RAY. Further check-ins, please call now.
Definitely some good information coming out. So I'll be right here listening for more. KB1RAY, back to net control.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Yeah, we're glad if other people are doing the same thing. They've got things they have to do, so they can't join in and chat, and they just would like to listen. We're happy with that. Never know what someone might pick up and be useful one day or another day. Okay, we're going to go through one more round of comments before we get to the second section, which may be a little bit more lengthy than previously, because we've got a few things to talk about for events. So we'll go to the top of the list. Dave, K1DCT, any further comments? KC1TWR.
Oh, nothing in particular. I'm just wondering how much coax are you you're looking for. I mean, I have some alpha wire 92-194, the numbers on the cable. It's a fudgy 8. So, I mean, if you need, I don't know what, for that 2-meter antenna, if you need, you know, 20 feet or 25, or, you know, I can cut you off a hunk. So, that's all I've got, K1DCT.
Okay, thanks, Dave. I'll take a measurement when I get home, and I'll let you know. I appreciate it very much. Okay, and with that, we'll move on to Kevin, see what he's thought of all these other comments going on. K6PDG, KC1TWR.
Very fine comments from some very fine amateurs. By the way, I hope people listening, amateurs listening in, know that you're welcome to check in if you don't want to participate that much or don't have a question or a comment. Everybody's welcome just to check in, and net control tends, the format of the net will call on you every round, but doesn't mean you have to talk. So everybody's welcome. Anyway, Tim, two questions for you. Are people going to be staying overnight Friday night at the fairgrounds for field day or not? You may have said, actually, and I might have missed in my brain. The second question for you, Tim, is did you get my email a couple of days ago about the propagation reporting? And a question for FJW is, any thoughts about, are you still planning to come pick up a couple of boxes? And I'm thinking either tomorrow afternoon or Friday, but whatever is convenient for you, Chuck. So there, KA6PDG, I better get out of here because you got other things to do. Go ahead, Nat.
Okay, Kevin, thank you. No, we're not going to be there Friday night. We're going to show up about 9 o'clock Saturday morning and whip everything up and get it going. We're not fretting about being on the air right at the crack of the start of the event. If we can, be great. If not, we're not going to become frantic about it. Yes, I did get your email. I thank you very much. Very instructive, informative. I didn't get a chance to reply to it. I apologize for that. And based on that and on the experience that I had with the Aries call out, the next one will be handled much differently. I'll put it that way. Okay, and with that, we'll move on to Steve, NK1V. This is KC1TWR.
NK1V. And I actually have a compliment for Chuck, which will be case in point. I wanted to say this last round, and I had it on my notes and completely forgot. It's his ability to take notes and then actually express what's on those notes on the next round. Interesting. And yes, I also agree with the, usually on my, even when my, I've made several variations of antennas and stuff like that, and I'll do limited calculations, what I call ballpark, and try and get as much information on what others have done. And I'd much rather enjoy cutting and adding to things, because I've had to add a few times, than trying to just crunch numbers and do all that. I find it much more
sometimes it's more time consuming, but overall I enjoy a lot more having to add a piece on or take a piece off or that kind of thing, or adjust something, turn and twist it, instead of trying to use my brain thing. Back to that, NK1B.
Yep, thank you, Steve. And that brings to mind the something I'm slowly but surely learning, which is that for all the technical and specific information that we learn about amateur radio, there are so many other little factors that come into play, like what environment is the antenna in? Is the antenna near any electrical wires? Is the antenna near any trees or any wood? Is the, you know, all these other factors that actually can change things that we can't factor into our calculations. And that's why, even though our calculations may say, oh, it's got to be exactly so many feet, so many inches, so many parts of inches, no, it's going to be different than that because of the environment. So I guess we're all learning things like, or I know I'm learning about that. Okay, on to Chuck, W1FJW, this is KC1TWR.
And in answer to Kevin's question, yes, Thursday I will not be available, but Friday I should be available, and I believe the afternoon would probably be more convenient for everybody, so pick your time in that time frame, and I'll try to be there. And in another observation is, in the past they used to talk about Ohm's law and all these other laws of physics and whatever. There are no such things. They're not laws. They are merely mathematical models. They all have limitations for accuracy and conditions which they apply, and they're all approximate. And I don't care how much you think it's cast in concrete. Back to net, W1FJW.
Thank you, Chuck, for such very wise and sage commentary on that. And the more experience I get, the more I agree with you. Okay, moving on to John, W1JOP. Any comments you want to throw out this way? This is KC1TWR.
As always, it's a very interesting net. So, sorry, missed the first half of it, but not much I can do about that. Anyway, back to net, W1JOP.
Okay, John, and we definitely enjoy when people either join in or listen live, but just as a reminder, Kevin does do make recordings of these nets and keeps them up at the am1700.org/tipsnet website, and he'll correct me if I got the website wrong. But so they are available up there. If you miss something and it sounds like it was something that you wanted to hear about, you can go back and check. And the file names do have a couple of words here and there about what was talked about, so that's always helpful. Okay, last on the list, Mark, KB1RAY. This is KC1TWR. Any comments?
KB1RAY. The only comment I have is a comment about myself, I guess. I got 2 months to get my HF antenna back where I want it to be. I'll have to put a little more effort towards that. Hope everyone has a very good night here. KB1RAY, back to net control.
Okay, thank you, Mark. And I'm going to do a quick call out before we go into the next section. Any other check-ins, please call now. Okay, we're going to move on to the next section, which is for any events or special things that people would like to talk about or bring up and make sure everybody knows about. I think first off, and I'll bring this up right away, is the race on auction that's coming up this Saturday. And it should prove to be an interesting one. We think we have everything together to also accept credit debit cards for the first time. So, Chuck, I did meet with Dave and spoke with Rob, and we've tested it, and it seems to work okay. So that's going to maybe make things a little easier for some people. Let's see, for the auction, the auction will start promptly at 10 a.m., but the doors will open at 8 o'clock for people to bring items in. And so if you're going to come take a look at stuff before the auction, my suggestion is to get there about 9 or 9:30 so you have enough time to take a look at everything before the auction starts. And it gives the people who want to sell stuff enough time to bring stuff in and get it spread out on the table. So other than that, I will open up the floor. Anyone else have any events or anything that they want to talk about in the second section here? So any announcements or items of interest, please call now. Okay, I thought I heard another station in there with a lot of static, so if there was another station besides Kevin, please call now.
Hotel Echo Juliet, K1HEJ. Larry, was that you? Say Roger. I'm not sure if that was a Roger or not. It's about 98% noise, but I'm pretty sure it was Kilo 1 Hotel Echo Juliet. He used to be the section traffic manager. His name is Larry. I'll bet you a beer I got it right. K6PDG back to net. And I'll wait to be acknowledged.
Okay. Well, Kevin, Larry, I presume that you can hear me better than I can hear you. So thank you for checking in. If you have anything you'd like to contribute or what have you, please go ahead and try now. And Kevin, if you can make out what he's saying, I would appreciate it. So Larry, give it a try.
Because of the brief transmission that he did not have anything. Larry, your signal's poor. I'm sure it's not your fault, but it's like 99% noise. I think he's free and clear there, Tim.
Okay, well, Larry, hopefully next week you'll get a better signal coming through, atmospheric conditions and all that. In the meantime, Kevin, go ahead with your item.
W1FJWK6PDG, 2 p.m. Friday, plus or minus QRM. You can pass it back to Nat, Chuck.
Okay, Chuck, do you acknowledge that in any comment?
Acknowledged, 2 p.m. Sounds doable. I'll see you at 2 p.m. on Friday. Back to net, W1FJW.
Okay, very good. Any last comments from anyone before we close? Okay, that was the last call. I'd like to thanks to all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and thanks to all who stood by while we conducted the net, and thanks to all that listened. You don't have to participate. It's good if you do, but if not, at least listening is always good. Tri-City Amateur Radio Club that sponsors this event does have a meeting on the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross office at 1031, number 1031 on Route 32 in Montville. The meetings start at 7:30 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club can be found at the Tri-City website, tricityarc.com. We thank John W1AN for use of his repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. Good night, N73.